As a warning, the upcoming feature talks explicitly about female anatomy and traumatizing procedures. You may not have heard about it, but last year, a district court judge ruled that a federal law banning female genital mutilation was unconstitutional. He said it's up to the states to make laws about this cultural practice, and many of them are. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports on how it's playing out in our region.
Imagine a young girl going to a family event. The girl isn't sure what it's about, but soon she does. It's about her. She's held down and undergoes a procedure that her parents say not to talk about. It hurts. This story belongs to many girls, but Naima Dido makes it very clear. Her mother loved her.
She didn't cut me to harm me. She cut me so that I would have a secure future. I would have a husband. I would be able to fit in the community that we come from. I wouldn't be ostracized.
Dido grew up in Kenya and is one of generations of children who've undergone female genital mutilation. It's a cultural practice involving cutting or removing parts of a woman's clitoris or labias, often to encourage chastity. The practice is associated with African countries like Somalia, but it also happens regularly in Egypt, Indonesia, and Oman, among others. It happens across races and religions, and right here in the United States. Many girls are cut between ages 3 and 18. Dido was 9.
At the age of 16 or so, I realized what had happened and spent from then until now to really understand it for myself, but also to work with the community in initiating some of the changes that we need to make.
Today, Dido lives in North Carolina, but the first time she spoke out publicly about the procedure was to a crowd in Sun Valley, Idaho. It was during the Family of Woman Film Festival last February. She says she's happy to hear that since her visit, Idaho has criminalized female genital mutilation, or FGM. Now someone in Idaho could be sentenced up to life in prison if they cut a minor. It's one of the toughest FGM laws in the nation. Colorado and Nevada have had a law on the books for 2 decades, and Utah passed legislation last year. Renit Mishori is a professor at Georgetown University's School of Medicine. She says there are multiple FGM procedures.
And the one that's the most severe also happens to cause more complications and chronic conditions.
That's when the vagina is effectively sewn shut. Some women don't face any long-term consequences of FGM, while others can have PTSD, depression, chronic pain, sexual dysfunction, regular infections, and major complications giving birth. Mishori thinks the practice is a human rights violation, but she's concerned that criminalizing it could make immigrant communities even more wary of U.S. law enforcement.
Working with the community and with community leaders and education may be more effective in the long term than working on these issues through the criminal justice system.
Naima Dido understands Mishori's concerns. In fact, she says when FGM was banned in her home country of Kenya, it drove the practice underground. But she says the answer is that the laws need to be passed alongside education.
People need to understand why it's illegal. It's not because the government is against you. It's because of the implications, long-term effects that it has on the woman, on the girl.
The CDC estimates that more than 500,000 women in the U.S. have had the procedure or are at risk of it, but it's challenging to count something that no one wants to talk about. Some legislators in Wyoming are trying to talk about it. That state doesn't have a law yet, but Kathy Connolly is trying to change that.
The fear is we could become a destination for the practice.
Connolly is a Democratic state representative, and she's sponsored a bill to criminalize FGM. It failed when the legislature ran out of time. Wyoming and Montana are 2 of 15 states that don't have a law banning the practice yet. For Dido, those laws are tools to keep girls safe. Tools like outreach and her own voice. She says she first spoke out in Idaho because of her 4-year-old daughter. She didn't know it at the time, but her daughter had been listening to her conversations with others about female genital mutilation.
Then she asked me, "Mama, are you going to cut me?" And my heart broke and I didn't know what to say. One, I don't think she even understands what is being cut, but she's picked up enough to know that there's something wrong and there's fear there.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.